You know what I think heaven is? I think heaven is you. You know that? Listen. A place where I can find happiness.
To many, the news of Ohio players legend Leroy Sugarfoot Bonner's death last weekend was met with disbelief and shock. It was unexpected, and the news of his final days in hospice was closely kept by the singer's inner circle. But it didn't take long for the sad news to light up the internet as thousands of Facebook posts and tweets started coming in from music fans around the world. There were even tweets in foreign languages. Being a Daytonian, I've come to accept that, aside from a few professional athletes, the closest we'll get to an A-list celebrity is the summer concert lineup at The Phrase. Dayton's not a place to meet people like Prince, Denzel, Justin Bieber, or Taylor Swift, let alone music legends like Mick Jagger or Sir Paul McCartney. But it didn't matter. We had our very own international music legend, Leroy Sugarfoot Bonner, one of the most recognizable voices in American popular music. Seeing Sugarfoot in Dayton wasn't like bumping into, say, David Chappelle, who you might see in Yellow Springs or at a local comedy club. Everybody knows if you see Chappelle, just be cool. Don't freak out. But when you saw Sugarfoot, it was like, Sugar! Oh my God, it's Sugar! Hey man, what's up? I love your work, Sugar. Can I take a picture? Honey, hurry up, pull out the iPhone. And Sugar would love every bit of it. Bonner's fame had become so legendary that a cartoon character, Cousin Bobby, was modeled after him on the hit TV series, The Proud Family.
Hey, Bobby, what's up?
What's up, Agnes? What for lunch today, girl?
Your favorite, minestrone soup.
Lunch is on me, and it's free.
Now that's what I call big time. In the next clip, you'll hear some local Daytonians talking about their love of the Ohio players. They are Celestine Taylor Davis, Stan Middleton, the late Harold Rimblert Jr., and Shawnee Mack.
I was actually at home, and my daughter called me on the phone. She actually lives in Huntsville, Alabama, and said that it was posted on Facebook. I was in shock. I just could not believe he'd left us that quickly.
Well, I was very saddened to hear about his passing. He was a definite Dayton legend, and he brought a lot of fame to music in Dayton and made us all proud to be from Dayton and gave us all just that extra distinction that we were from Dayton, too.
The Ohio players should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mick Jagger was influenced by the Ohio players, and he told Sugarfoot that.
He meant so much to so many people, and he directly and indirectly fed a lot of people. Stood next to him every night for 2 years, never seen him do the same thing twice. His voice was one of the voices that changed the music industry and the way that lead singers approached songs.
That's who he was, a sweet and authentic man. So it's with one last, ow, girl, that I say thank you, Sugar, for your music and always being you, an international music giant who simply loved being a Daytonian. We loved you too. For WYSO Community Voices, this is Basim Blunt.
On that note, it's a real honor to welcome our in-studio guest today. I'll first welcome Community Voices producer who did that spot and much more around here at WYSO, Basim Blunt. Basim, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us here today, mm-hmm. and we're so excited to be here. And just, you know, that I think you're so awesome. And so anytime I get to be in the same space with you, I really enjoy it.
I feel the same way as well. And as always, you never come to YSO empty-handed. You have brought a man who I'm simply delighted by. Tell us our amazing guest today.
I think the listeners are going to hear the word legend a few times while we're here, because I'm with the legendary bass player for the Ohio Players and a good friend, Marshall Jones. And I want to thank you for coming and hanging out with us, Marshall.
Hey, appreciate it. And I got a little chance to say something to the audience, I would like for you to go online and look up Ohio Players. And what is it? Unsung.
And
it's
a
one-hour program, I believe. Mm-hmm. It tells the story pretty currently. And check it out.
If you've only ever just heard a couple of the tunes and not known the real background, search The Ohio Players, and it's on TV One. That's the letters TV and then O-N-E. Look that up. And it was just produced last year.
Yes.
And you and Sugar both involved in that.
Oh, yeah, the whole band.
Oh, how nice.
I think a lot of listeners, and on behalf of a lot, we just want to say on behalf of the listeners, thank you for your music and all the great tunes that you and Sugar and the rest of the guys brought to us. You really blessed our lives so much with your music.
You know, the impact is beginning to happen to me now. I didn't realize it at the time we were doing it, that this would end up the precipice that it has.
Mm-hmm.
I get calls and online people call them all the time. I had one bass player say to me, "Thank God for you being born."
That's,
you know, I was touched by that.
Ditto that for me too.
Did I do that?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Yeah, I'm so pleased you're here today. Since Sugarfoot passed far too soon, you said that you've been doing so many interviews that you're just about gone hoarse from talking. But yeah, thank you for coming to your local radio station.
We've always loved Dayton. We never did think about actually moving anywhere else, because the economy's good here.
Mm-hmm.
One thing for sure.
Yeah.
And Dayton loves you too.
Yeah.
when I moved here to Dayton, and you know, I had no idea. And I think I met somebody, said, "I can bring you over to meet Marshall." I'm like, "Marshall, you're not Marshall Jones. He's here in Dayton." And you know, we met. And as you heard from the piece, when I would see Sugar, I mean, Dayton, I ended up raising my family here and staying here because of you guys.
Yeah, I remember you and I worked on some house music stuff together.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Another, I got a call from Shakin' Dave Hussong this morning. He was just so excited that you're going to be on the show today. And you and he's done some pretty amazing things in his own right.
Yes, he has.
And he's still
Shakin' Dave. Man, he was a big Robert Ward fan. I mean, he was back in the days when we were all kids, basically. We were teenagers. Me, him, and Skip Shaman, Jose. Oh, there's a bunch of us, man. I can't think. My memory won't serve me, but...
But yeah, there was a sort of crew that was into the music, making the music, sharing, playing together. And I've often wondered about this. I mean, it's never surprising to me, the innovation that comes out of this place. There's something...
Isn't that true? Isn't that something?
Uh-huh.
You know, the NFL started here. I found that out. Stainless steel.
You know, Michael Sampson, the gentleman who's doing the Funk Museum, said there's something in the water.
Something in the water. You know, we created the cash register, what metamorphosed into the computer.
How about that?
Hewlett Packard, them guys started working here first.
Yeah.
Then they went to IBM and on.
It's never surprising. There's just a lot here, and I love that you stayed. I love that this was the place that you came up, that you took your pieces and put it together and made your own style and then stayed here in this gem city. We've got some cuts. Bassine, you brought some selections from a cross-section of your early work and some later work as well.
I think when you talk about a legendary band and legendary music, you want to talk about their influences and who influenced them. And when I got to interview Marshall last summer for my funk piece, he talked about a guy named Robert Ward, who I had never heard of. And he said, really, Robert Ward was kind of our mentor and who started us off. And he's a fantastic remarkable guitar player.
Oh, let me tell you about Robert. Robert Ward was a guitar phenomenon. He influenced the guy down in Cincinnati.
Lonnie Mack.
Lonnie Mack. And then Lonnie Mack influenced Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah.
And it was all documented in Billboard magazine.
Yeah.
And then Robert Ward did a clinic with Rod Kruder and the other guitar players.
Carlos Santana.
Yeah. And Carlos told Robert, he said, "You're the ocean, man. I'm only but a drop."
So now, I think it's an interesting story. How did you become one, Robert Ward's bass player? Because you were just a young guy starting out, and he had a bass player. So yeah. How did you get in there?
Well, they had a falling out or something. And I was playing downtown on East Fifth Street with the Reed Brothers at a club called the Blazing Stomp.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a white club, man. You with motorcycle riders up in there.
Oh.
And they had this black band up there, and everybody just loved us.
Uh-huh.
But some of them guys would come in there and say, you know, they would make derogatory statements and make threats and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that owned something, you ain't bothering my boys now. You can't mess with them. We stayed there 2 years. And one night, Pee-wee came and got me.
Uh-huh.
Said, "Man, our bass player gone, man. You got to come play with us."
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Man, I ain't got nothing to put on." Pee-wee said, "I got some pants at the house." Now, Pee-wee, 112 pounds. You know. I ain't much heavy, but yeah. But if I had these ankle-high pants, I said, "Pee-wee, I can't wear these." Pee-wee said, "That's okay. Just come on." And I came. And then about a week later, LaVoie came back. And the band said, "No, man. You left, that was it.
And
we liked this guy.
Took his spot, yeah."
Yeah, and they didn't look back. So I played with Robert for 8 years. And matter of fact, we got a piece. Yeah. I liked it.
We've got some songs by the Ohio Untouchables.
Precursor. It would later then do a couple metamorphoses.
Yes.
And give us what we come to know more familiarly.
Now, which one we have?
Your love is real. That's a good idea. Yeah, it's a good.
Okay, that's the new one. That's the that I just got turned on to.
This will give you an idea of the virtuosity of this musician.
And he didn't play with a pick.
He didn't play with no picks at all. Just his fingers.
If you squinted, you'd think by his position he was playing bass.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way he did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His hand motion.
What's the dude? Do you know the year on this tune?
This is 1997.
And this is with the Ohio Untouchables, which would eventually give us the Ohio Players. We're so pleased to be in the studio with our guest today, Marshall Rock Jones. Check out an early sample.
Make my blood run cold. What about midnight, baby? That's when I get my thrill. Along about midnight, baby, that's when I get my thrill. When I think you're gonna leave me, baby, you know in my eyes that bring tears. Thank you. think you're gonna leave me, baby. You know they make my blood run cold. Your love is real. Your love is so real. Yeah! Your love is real, baby. Your love is so real. I think you're gonna leave me, baby. You know they make my blood run cold.
Oh yeah, in the studio with that bass player and Mr. Marshall Rock Jones and Mr. Basim Blunt, one of our Community Voices producers, who's been keeping his finger on the pulse. Oh, is that it? All right, yeah. He knows. We found a song that we're going to try to get up for you here, but in the meanwhile, it's a pleasure. It's sort of like sometimes if you want somebody to appear, you just got to say their name. It's a real treat to welcome on the phone line, Shake and Dave. You hear us, Dave?
I'm with you.
And you're with you.
What's up, Dave?
Shake and Dave. Hey, Shake and Dave. It's Basim. Nice to talk to you, man.
We're talking about your boy, Dave. Back in the day.
And you know, one of the first people that ever I heard speak the word Robert Ward was Shake and Dave. He knows a thing about it. You, Shake, you were saying you reckon this song that we just heard was recorded in 1962. You seem to know the studios.
Well, I think that I'm certainly not going to second-guess the master's memory. We're all suffering from that right now.
Yeah.
I'm definitely a part of that memory loss. But I think, I try to renew my acquaintance with this band and all these magic performers weekly. And from research I've done, I think that, I don't know if that's the original version that would have been Lupine or Thelma, and I think that was back during the Robert West produced, not Robert Ward, but Robert West produced stuff, but I thought a lot of that was done over in Residence Park. Could be wrong. And the second version that I know of was Ultrasonic Studios in 1990 down in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Right.
And that's all here or there. The magic is in the music, and it's all documented somewhere. It's really good to hear your voice, brother.
Well, you know, Dave, you were one of the ones instrumental of getting that New Orleans session, because you brought it in. When you the one that brought the Magnetone amp?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I don't know where it is now, but I guess Roberta probably has it. I rounded that up from a good friend of mine who just passed earlier this year, Donnie Smutak, and he had a whole collection of Magnetones, and I got one for Robert to use in that session. But it's all great, man. It's great that, you know, I wish these were more pleasant surroundings that we were celebrating. We're dealing with someone's passing, but, I mean, he gave his life for a beautiful thing, and you're carrying it on, Marshall, and I'm glad that you're still here, brother.
Oh, I am too. Knock on wood.
We all are. Yeah. I always take great comfort in someone's passing. I mean, that's how life goes. We have an arc, and we have our time and our moments, but I'm always so comforted when we're left with, particularly with music, we're left with
I might have to put
body.
Me a black suit in the cleaner just in case.
Dave, I just saw some video of Robert Ward on YouTube, and I was just amazed at his technique. He plays the guitar like a bass without a pick.
I studied the cat. I could if I could have a brother like that, I'd certainly claim him. I claim him anyhow. But he had. I got to write the liner notes for that New Orleans album. And one thing I still stand by is that he had ultimate right left brain separation. You know,
wow.
I mean, and Sugar too. I mean, Sugar took it to the next level.
Yeah,
just like he was playing bass, rhythm, and lead all at once. And whenever you see an interview with Lonnie Mack, the first thing he does is give credit to Robert Ward.
Yeah,
and of course Robert Ward, and then Sugar, and then the Troutmans, and here we are.
Now,
and then Stevie Ray,
who
Lonnie Mack influenced. And according to Billboard magazine article, Stevie Ray went and bought Lonnie Mack air conditioning
for his house
down in Cincinnati.
Yeah. He got Lonnie to move down to Austin and set him up for that Strikes Like Lightning release that he and Stevie did back in, I think, 90. Well, I'm sorry. It would have been 84, 85. I'm a decade behind.
I just realized
just how many people we actually influenced.
I was going to say, we've got an all-star cast of characters in studio. Via the phone line, we're talking to a longtime host of Hall of Fame Blues, Shaggin' Day. We've got Basim Blunt, a Community Voices producer here, but also a big sort of carrying that torch for the funk in this region and sort of innovative music that's been emanating from the Gem City for many, many years. And perhaps among the most legendary bass players. What you say? Go ahead. What is it?
I was just going to say Marshall Rock.
Marshall Rock!
Marshall Rock.
Rock.
It's the Rock, yeah. Don't smoke it.
I like that.
And you know, Marshall, one of the boys that you influenced from the side was Denny the Rug Johnson.
Yeah, Denny.
He passed away within the last year, so
yeah,
we've got to carry on this tradition and keep it alive, brother.
Yes, sir. I spoke to Jose not too long ago. He's back on his horn.
Yeah, he's doing all right. I talk to him about every other day. He's still my brother. We go all the way back to 1963. It's so easy for me to get off on a tangent talking to people like you, man. I don't know where to stop.
Well, we're just so lucky to have...
Well, you know, Greg is here.
Yeah, Greg is with you?
No, he's not with me, but he's around somewhere.
Well, he would come in the store every once in a while when he was working with the Reed brothers, but he and I played together. That's as close as I got to actually being a part of the players of the Untouchables. I was in a band with Greg Webster.
Okay.
I think it was called Overnight Low.
Yeah, Greg Webster was our original drummer.
Yeah, I know, man.
Overnight Low is a group that Diamond came from.
Right, and I know when that happened.
Diamond and Marvin.
I know all that stuff. We got a lot to talk about, but I don't want to tie up Nikki's show. But
well, it's all right. We're going to take...
I became familiar with you over a summer, 1965, when you played at the Oak Leaf Club at Germantown Dam.
Yeah.
All summer. It was Dutch, Bobby Brown, you, Fats, Pee-wee, and Sugar.
And, you know, Dutchie, I just met him again online. He's playing with the symphony up in Nova Scotia. He's a performer.
Wow, that's really
Nova Scotia Symphony.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Can you imagine the influences?
Fabulous.
You know, we gotta give the music form, the art form, the credit for bringing the world together, really.
Speaking of credit, you know, we were talking a little bit about gear just earlier, but also some credit goes to this man, Marshall Rock, one of the legendary bass players of modern music, no question about it. For you did something that no one thought of and took the frets off your bass, just took them off.
I was influenced by upright players.
Right, fretless. An upright has no frets.
Yes.
But no one in rock or no one in the electrified thing was doing that kind of thing. It seems just absolutely amazing that no one thought of it. But you're like, hey, you know what? I'd like it smoother. I'm like,
and it worked.
Yeah.
I used to give,
Marshall Jones was the first, and about a day later, our bass player, Denny the Rug Johnson, took all the frets out of his bass.
A day. Marshall started.
Yeah, a lot of guys did it.
And I have that bass here, Marshall. I have Denny's old P-bass from 1960. That's the trouble.
I got to have it.
You bass players, you buy one instrument, and you never buy another one.
I'll be down to see you, buddy.
So tell me how you do that.
We'll hook up, and I really appreciate Nikki let me have a chance to talk to you.
My honor.
I'm prepared for this, man. I'm nervous.
Well, you're a part of this story. What are you talking about, man?
A big part of it.
A big part of the story.
I'm living up to my name, Shaggin' Dave, right now.
Yeah, you're shaking.
So I just want to know, did you do that yourself? Did you yourself take the frets out?
I was working at a Dayton band upstairs over the Victory Theater.
Yep.
And with Bob Daugherty and his dad. And his two sons.
It's a music shop.
We would get shipments of instruments from all over the world. We'd put them together and sell them, and then we'd fix instruments, repair a lot of school instruments, UD, and we kept a bunch of instruments coming and going. And I know
Senior passed away, Pee-wee didn't have anybody else to work on his horn because he had that. Pee-wee had that trumpet, Dizzy Gillespie's, where the horn belt is up in the air at a 45-degree angle.
Yeah.
and Bob Senior was the one I think that helped him with that.
Okay.
So
a lot of legendary things here in the Miami Valley.
But I want to know, did you do that yourself?
Yeah, I took the frets out at the shop and took some hot epoxy and just smoothed it over, and I played it. And I had to learn position playing,
right?
Like a trombone player, you get in positions to play,
right?
And I eventually perfected. I used to run recording engineers crazy. your intonation, you know. But eventually I mastered it.
And when about was that? What was the year on that? Do you remember?
Oh, God. I would say 69. I know I went to New York, and we parked in a parking garage, and we paid a little attention. They said, man, just watch our stuff, please. We got to perform and so on and so on and so on. So we're going to get a hotel and all that. And we did all that and came back. The little side vent window on the van was broke out. And the bass and a couple of horns was gone.
Oh, my goodness.
So New York City gets a fretless bass.
This bass was like a 1961 jazz bass. Had the piggyback pots on it.
Mm-hmm.
They only made about 200 of them.
Have you ever seen it since?
Did
it ever turn
back
up?
But
there's a rumor.
The rumor is that
Jaco Pastorius
might have picked it up, because Jaco said that he got a bass. He didn't say that it didn't have frets on it, because he said he took the frets out. But Jaco said he got this bass in New York, but it had piggyback pots, and he changed the pots. And I would like to see that bass, because I had to wear my finger had wore a groove in it.
I wonder if we could make that
coincidence.
Couldn't we make that happen? Couldn't we lay an eye on that?
I'm on that story. I am on it. I'm going to make some phone calls.
You never know.
We're in the studio with Marshall Rock. That's Marshall Rock Jones, bass player for the Ohio Players, and many, many more. Truly a legend from right here in our gem city, coming out to his local public radio station today. It's just a delight to have you. Basim Blunt, our Community Voices producer, and our own sort of proud soul and host of Hall of Fame, Shakin' Dave, on the phone line. We got a bunch of music queued up here. What kind of play that we can talk a little about?
Hey, Dave, as we take Robert Ward and Marshall and that band to Detroit when they met Wilson Pickett and the Falcons, I have two songs here. And which one would you like us to play? I have Swim and I Found the Love.
Here's that recall problem.
We got Swim or I Found a Love. These are the two that we have queued up here.
I Found a Love is, of course, I think that might have Wilson Pickett singing lead on it.
He's
on both of those.
Yeah.
I know the Swim was the one that they thought was going to be the hit. Well, but the radio station said, no way, this is the hit, I Found the Love. And Wilson Pickett wasn't known at the time. He was one of the Falcons. We were recording behind the group, the Falcons, in Detroit.
Man, that would have been a session to be a fly on the wall, I'm sure.
Well,
Robert Ward and Wilson Pickett both doing vocals in one studio, in one room. My goodness.
Shall we do Swim?
Talk about an R&B explosion.
So,
I would say I found a love.
Yeah. I found a
love. I recognize that.
Can't go wrong with that.
The one that radio loved.
Yeah.
Listen to the tremolo in the guitar.
Oh,
How about that? I'm telling you, the best seat in the house is here in the studio, listening to all these gentlemen talking as the music's playing. Again, we're joined in the studio by a legendary bass player, Mr. Marshall Rock Jones from the Ohio Players, and Basim Blunt, one of our Community Voices producers and great aficionado of funk here. And also on the phone line, it is Shaken Dove Hussong. Gentlemen, man, the things I learned about that song while that was being played.
How old were you cats when you cut that?
That was 1959. I was 18. I was legal.
And that was recorded in Detroit?
Yeah.
With Wilson Pickett.
But I didn't actually play that session. That was LaVoy Fretty. He was the one that quit.
Oh, okay.
And I got to give him his props.
And we were looking for a tune. There's a... Well, and all the shiftings and how these, you know, groups of people coming together and members, you know, ebb and flow and coming and going. You were mentioning that there was a song, and we might be able to get it, but maybe we can get it for when you're on with Shaken Dave, where he more or less acknowledges.
Yeah, he acknowledges the falling out in him and I had. Mm-hmm. And it came on Unsung, the program. And on Unsung, I mentioned that we had this fight. We go out in that parking lot.
And we, actual 50
yeah, cups? we bang it up. And I said it was only three licks past. I hit him, he hit me, and I hit the ground. End of story. So I said, I'm going to play with
him. Talk about autocratic rulership.
Pete Wentz said, I ain't
going to deal with fan problems.
Right. Well, I was a 140-pound robber, about 170, 180 pounds. Uh-huh. I hit him, he hit me, and I hit the ground.
Being in a band is not a democracy.
Yeah. And that's when the players
Washington should take some rules from the players.
We got Sugarfoot, and we had Robert. Today, what would have made, what possibly could have happened?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we talked about Robert because, you know, as the history of the Ohio funk scene and the Dayton funk scene goes down and we're here on YSO, our community station, it's important that his name gets recognized because...
Yeah, right. We've got to pay credit where we touched on the foundation now. You know, I mean, we're grieving, our hearts are broken, but we know that Sugar is in a sweet place now.
Oh, yeah.
Part of a big band.
You ain't going to let me do it.
Absolutely.
No, funky band.
It's so beautiful. It's so touching, a song.
Yeah.
I had it up, and you changed it.
Well, we'll have to be able to get it and be able to broadcast it, which takes another step in there. But you know what? We can have that for sure. That ready for when you're back with Shaken Dave.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll do that for sure.
Well, I think what's an interesting segue now.
So we are, what time are we through?
We got about another 15 minutes if we want to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're good.
So how did Robert leave and you guys, Sugar comes into this picture now?
This is where we are.
Yeah.
Robert leaving, I wanted to close him out with that song.
Yeah.
Now I can,
we'll have it for next time, though.
Okay, we'll just skip the song, but that's what happened.
Uh-huh.
Robert left. I left. And Sugar and Pee-wee and Satch.
I certainly wouldn't want to second guess the master, but I do know a little bit about those events that happened. Wasn't there a producer named Robert West that was involved in all that transition?
No, we didn't even know Robert West at that
Robert
time.
Robert Ward a gig with Undisputed Truth, playing with Smiling Faces. Remember that song?
Joe Pep.
Yeah, and I think Robert was licking his wounds real fast after that because that was a one-hit wonder, and I don't know if he ever tried to get back in and crowd Sugar out, but Sugar by that time, he was such an incredible musician that he put his foot down and the deed was done.
And when Sugar came to the Players, you know, we know him as the front man and the lead vocalist. But when Sugar came to the Players, you guys had another front man, a teen prodigy named Junie Morrison.
Junie hadn't come into the picture this time.
As a vocalist. Sugar was in as a guitarist. But
Junie wasn't even in the outfit,
okay.
Period.
School me, brother.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Marshall, didn't you guys have a pair of singers back in those days?
Yeah, we had Bobby Shepherd. Then we had Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown did all the James Brown stuff.
Yeah.
And Dutch did all the Bobby Blue Bland stuff.
Yeah.
I remember him from both those guys from at the leisure time on Old Troy Pike, and then of course out there at the Oak Leaf Club at the Germantown Dam.
Yeah.
That was a place.
Well, you guys were still kind of blues jazzy, or were you funk?
Musicians making music.
Yeah,
you know, we went with whatever we had to do at the time.
I like that.
Yeah, we, you know, jocks label stuff.
Yeah,
musicians really don't.
Yeah.
They did it all.
Was it hard to play, you know, what you consider to be funk bass with the, you know, the thumb popping and all that with the fretless? Was that something that just took you forever to
Well, they actually didn't really want me to do a lot of popping on the bass. I didn't do that until we did that Tenders, Trial of Tenderness album. Because Satchie's always said, man, you can sound like everybody else. Let everybody else sound like you. You know, you play your thing.
I like it.
I stayed with that style that I created.
Do you remember the first sort of memorable moment with Sugarfoot when he came into the band and sort of everything just kind of clicked? That you knew that this was the right
Sugar
group?
He was a very soulful, introverted, quiet kind of a guy, but very creative. I know. It's one program, Soul Train. Mm-hmm. We should make our own outfits. We should actually sew. Three of us actually started sewing.
Me, you guys had some unbelievable outfits.
And Sugar made this outfit way before hoodies. He had a hood on. He had these gun belt. And these bullets in there. I thought that was some creative.
And you know that's on YouTube. If you YouTube Ohio Players, you'll see Sugar with that hoodie outfit on the Soul Train. And you guys had your first big hit.
He was very creative.
Yeah,
I love it. It didn't stop at the music. There was
his house was
expression.
Uniquely, real smartly, and he could have been an interior decorator. He could have been anything he wanted. He had imagination.
Wow. We're talking.
The interesting thing about Sugar, he never considered himself a singer. And when Dutch left, matter of fact, Felipe Wynn out of Cincinnati wanted to get with the group. And I wanted him in there because I knew he could sing. But the band said, no. We're going to have no more lead singers.
Those guys are trouble.
Yeah, we get behind them and put all that time into them, and then they do something stupid.
Right.
Go to jail or something.
Right.
So we said, well, somebody in the band got to sing. Uh-huh. Everybody looked at Sugar. Sugar said, hey, man, I ain't no singer. We said, well, you are now. He said, I'm going to mess up. So we said, well, we're going to mess up with you. Bingo, there ain't gonna be no other way. Yeah. And that's why we kind of developed the way we recorded.
Yeah.
We didn't create nothing on paper or something. And we just played, and when something came up that felt good, we took that and made it into something. Yeah. And let Sugar do whatever he wanted to do.
Well, I want to hear some Sugar. Do we have...
What do you call it, and I'll put it on.
We have the Fire album, and we have...
I Want to Be Free. Is that on that, or Honey?
I've got Honey and Fire here.
Honey is...
Well, I Want to Be Free is a beautiful song.
Yeah, I like that. I'm
quite
be
sure
free.
That's Sugar.
Don't have it. Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, we
yeah,
do.
It is.
Yeah.
There it is. We'll get it. You want to talk a little bit specifically about this? Anything you remember about this particular tune?
From a musician's standpoint, or a listener, as a fan, okay. I Want to Be Free is really interesting because it starts off with a drum solo, and it's a ballad song. And yeah. So when it first comes on, Diamond's crashing on the drums, and then you guys lock into this slow groove.
Yeah.
And I was in high school then, and I'm like trying to find somebody to dance with at the parties when this song came on. But Sugar's voice is magic on this.
One day, child, I won't have to listen to your lies. On that day, I'll be able to make up my own mind. You know, I think I done finally realized. Yes, I have. And now I think I can put you out of my life. I'm gonna be free. Yes, I am. Oh, Lord. I'm gonna be free, child. I'm gonna be free. Oh, oh.
Tribute to a great, great talent, a unique voice in all music, and just a beloved part of the music scene here in the Gem City, Sugarfoot, who passed. And been a big pleasure to be talking with Marshall Rock, Shake and Dave was on the phone, and they'll be back together this Monday night, and I highly recommend that you listen in for that. It's such a great treat to be joined in the studio by one of my favorite producers and knowers of things musical and funky. Basim, thanks again for being here today.
Thank you for having me and Marshall here. It's been magic. You know, when I interviewed Marshall this summer for the Boogie Nights funk music piece, right in the middle of the interview, it was at his home. He took me outside to show me the constellation of the stars that night. And I knew that Marshall is just a special spirit. And as we play Sugarfoot's music, I can kind of feel Sugar's energy coming in here. And just a tremendous, legendary musician. And when he passed away last weekend, before the news got on the wire, the AP, or was on any news source, it had lit up on the internet. And I just copied a few of the posts that listeners from around the world were saying about Sugarfoot up when they found out about his passing. And some are, "I can't imagine a world without Sugarfoot in it. I'm shedding a tear. I'm so sad about Sugarfoot, but we still have his music by way of consolation. Sugar was the best guitar player on the planet." And, you know, it began to hit me, and I began to tear up, too, because I really saw how much his music and his voice impacted us all. And we had him right here in the Miami Valley, and I think that's so special.
It is special.
I'd like to say that Sugar's birthday is March 14th, and we are going to get some musicians in together, and we're going to go down to Chili's, and we want everybody to come down and support.
March 14th?
March 14th, yes.
We will make a note of that.
March 14th is Sugar's birthday?
Yes.
And I wonder who else's birthday.
It's my birthday.
It's your birthday,
It's too. Quincy Jones and Albert Einstein, and I think that it's no coincidence that all these great minds that Sugarfoot.
The constellations are in the right place.
Amen. And later on in the year, we plan on having a red carpet affair at the Schuster Center.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And will you play for that, or what?
Of course.
You know, if any, and Marshall Jones is on Facebook, and so the listeners can always say hi to Marshall on Facebook.
They can just look you up straight up by your name, Marshall Jones, L's in Marshall. Look that up. We'll link, we'll put a bunch of this audio up on our website as well. You can look at WYSO.org, and you can look at the WYSO Facebook page. You can also, if you want to, you should follow Basim. You should keep an eye on what you're doing.
We have a WYSO Boogie Nights page on Facebook, and that has a lot of good information, too.
I've got Honey here. Can we listen to one? Can you suggest one for us to go on the way out?
Oh, yeah. What's that track selection? Because I'm just so excited. I want to, and
Sweet Sticky Thing.
There you go.
Which was a huge hit. Can you tell us anything? Tell us about this, just a couple of words as by way of intro for this great tune from 1975's Ohio Players.
Well, this is the album cover that won the Grammy for Best Album Cover, and it has the sexy woman covered in drenched in honey.
Honey. Which was quite scandalous, wasn't it, for the time? You guys got raising the... raising the eyebrows and but making it happen. There's a funny backstory about that too. There's an urban legend that turned out to never be true. We'll talk about that some other time. But Marshall Rock, thank you. This has been my honor. Thanks for being here today.
Glad to be here.
Thank you, Nikki.
Thanks, Bessie.
Just go from man to man. I just don't seem to understand why you're so very hard to take, you sweet sticky thing. If I could slow you down sometime, I'd like to try and change your mind. You're really not the one to blame, you sweet sticky thing. Thank you. best friend.